Dear friends in Christ Jesus, this morning we're going to be looking at the gospel lesson which you had just previously heard read. And of course, this is one of those things that we look at, and so many times in our lives we hear this phrase, I have good news and I have bad news. First, the good news. The good news is that which we had heard earlier in our worship service. It's when you stood up here and you confessed all that big list. In fact, that was a big list this morning of those sins that we've committed. Because the good news is those words at the end. And that was by Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven. That you have made what, Patrick? You aren't waiting for that, right? You've been made children of God, right? In fact, let's all say that. We have been made And that is a very special thing, because in our lives, what we can do is we can trust in Jesus. We know that Jesus is always there, that He's given us everything, that He richly blesses us, that we have so many things to have joy about. The good news is that He will never forsake you. You will never be alone here in this world, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way. The Lord is there. He loves you. And He loves you so much that He purchased you through His very blood. He's taken you away from sin, death, and the power of the devil. All of those things that we know about this world, He protects us from. He takes us through this valley of the shadow of death, and He takes us to green pastures. He takes us to still waters. He restores our soul. He does all of those things that has been promised to us. That's the good news. The bad news is there is a cost. And that's really what our gospel lesson talks about. Is that as children of God, that means that we've also become disciples of Jesus. In other words, what He does is He calls us to follow Him. And there is a cost to that. You know, as we take a look at our lives, there are so many things through in our lives that we just kind of go through the steps and kind of go through the motions. I know that one of the things that used to happen to me, and I cannot tell you how many of these I went to, is that when in business, when I was in management, they would always send me out to these silly seminars where we would go through and learn how to do all kinds of different stuff. You know, personal motivation, all of this kind of thing, you know, working with others, all this. The one thing that I can tell you about those things were is that they would force us to go to these things. And we would learn and hear about all of these nice concepts and all of this stuff. Hopefully, in order to make the business office work so much more smoother, that people would get along and that business would be done a lot easier. Well, the one thing that I can tell you is that as soon as we got back to the office, guess what? Nothing changed. Everything went exactly the way it was before. But that's really a lot like this group that was following Jesus. This group that was there. You see, we got to really understand these people here, because this was a great crowd. And you know, contrary to what you see when you see a lot of the Jesus movies that are out there today, you know, they show a great crowd of maybe being 20 or 30. There were thousands. There were thousands of people that were there and that had followed Jesus. But the problem with it was that Jesus knew that what they were doing is the same thing that we did when we went through those seminars. We were there. We were doing the happy clappy. We were doing all of that kind of stuff. We were listening. Well, I should say we were hearing, but we weren't listening. We didn't listen to the message. We didn't take it to heart. We just figured that it was another chance for us to get out of the office and to do some things that were a little different. And what good was the information? But see, that's how this group was too. They all followed Jesus. They wanted to see what was going on. They probably wanted to see what was the next miracle that He was going to do. But did they really hear what Jesus was telling them? That's why in this text, which is a difficult text sometimes, because a lot of times out there, what we always want to do is we want to hear Jesus as being this soft-spoken guy that's just a good fellow that heals people and always talks of love. In fact, it's kind of like going around listening, if you had ever seen that movie, The Love Guru, that was all it was. It was always talking about love and how we should just love one another. But yet Jesus, he didn't want to just simply give it just face value. He wanted them to understand what it truly meant to be a disciple. In fact, what he told them was this. He says, you have to hate your father and your mother, your wife and your children. You have to even hate yourself if you want to follow me. You've got to pick up your cross and you have to bear your cross if you want to follow me. And then he goes on to say, now I want you to think about this. After all, how many people would build a house without figuring out how much it was going to cost? How many of you would go to a contractor today and say, I want you to build this house here that I found in a magazine, without going and asking, how much is it? Without going to the bank and say, can I borrow enough money to be able to build this house? Because there's some pretty nice houses in there, and I know that if I went to a builder and I had him build the house that I would like, I don't have $1.5 million to be able to build it. I don't have the ability to borrow that much money. The bank would laugh at me. That's the same thing about being followers of Jesus. And that's what he wanted to do, because really he was very blunt. He was very, because, you know, oftentimes we hear Jesus talking about love and that. And then he tells us, what do we have to do is we have to hate our father and our mother? That doesn't sound right. Well, you have to hate your spouse and your children? That doesn't sound like the Jesus I know. But yet the reason that he said that to us is he wants us to realize that being a disciple of Jesus is not just simply something that we can go through the motions about. And he didn't literally mean that what we had to do was to hate those people. In fact, what he truly does want us to do is he wants to love those people just like he wants us to love all people. But what he also tells us to know is that if we truly follow Jesus, that we have to be prepared if people make fun of us, if people mock us, if people tell us that's a silly thing for you to do. Why would you ever follow Jesus? I don't believe in Jesus anyway. Do you ever have family members that ever tell you that stuff? Well, I don't know why you spend all your time in church. I certainly wouldn't do that. I got better things to do. I don't know. I don't know. Why would you ever do that? We ever had times where we've argued about God with our own family? We ever had times when people in our own family go in a different direction? Or want us to sin against what God asks us to do? How about this? You have to hate your own self. How many times do we get up on Sunday morning and say, I really don't want to be in church? I'd rather stay in bed a little bit longer. Believe me, after my day off yesterday, and what my wife had me do yesterday, I would have really loved to stay in bed this morning. How many of us would have rather gone out fishing or played golf this morning? Wonderful, beautiful day. Go out on the boat. Go out and see, go out and, and just sit back and relax and enjoy this day, why would you want to go to church? You see, that's what Jesus is making us think about and understand. Is that even in our own self, that the temptation to resist what God requires and calls us to do. And then how about that other big thing that's there? And maybe two big things. One, you need to go out and proclaim God's message to the world and His love. Not me. I'm not going to tell my neighbor. I'm not going to speak to him about Jesus. He's going to think that I'm kind of some kind of fanatic or something. Don't ask me to say anything about Jesus at work. They'll make fun of me and I might even get in trouble. Or what? You mean that I need to give God some of the money that I worked hard all week to make? I worked hard for that. Isn't it bad enough that I have to give up my Sunday mornings, that I've got to put money in the plate too? Do we ever hear that of ourselves? Is that ever the way that we think? Even for a brief moment when we're writing out that check, man, that's a lot of money. Gosh, I could buy a new car with that. Or I could go on that vacation. Gosh, I could get a boat. See, that's the thing about it is that Jesus knows that the way that we think and the way that they thought and everything, and what He did is He told us, He says, there is a price to this. And you know what? It even gets worse than that. What He does is He tells us to pick up our cross, and we need to bear our cross. And that's one that really a lot of people get wrong an awful lot today. We think it's bearing those aches and those pains of growing older. It's not that. That's not the cross that He tells us about. Sure, we use that an awful lot of times to kind of say, well, that's just, you know, that's just me making that little sacrifice that I have to do in order to be a good churchgoer. That's not what it is. You see, what we have to do is we have to realize the times of what Jesus was saying here. See, there was a time there that what it said was, is that by bearing your cross, what it meant was that you had to live as if you had already died. Can you live like that? Do you know what that even means to do, to live as if you've already died? Because at the time, what would happen is that if you did anything against the state, if you rebelled in any way, that you would be crucified, that you would die. It wasn't a little sacrifice. And so when people talked about these kind of things, what it meant was is that what you had to do was you had to live as if you were already dead. Do we have to do that today? Live as if we've already been convicted? That if we have already been sentenced? That if we're already dead? How about when we have to look at some of the things that are going on today? Glenn brought me in a thing yesterday out of the newspaper. Schools in Ohio requiring transgenders to use whichever bathrooms you want. And if you are uncomfortable with this, you can use the unisex one. Speaking out about gay marriage and those things. Prayer in church. Prayer in public. You see, that's the thing about it is today it's so easy for us to hide and just not do those things or speak about those things. But what Jesus is calling us to do is to be His people and to be His disciples and follow His commands and follow His desires for us. Which means, yeah, kids, that when we're in school, and we're not supposed to pray, that before we eat our lunch, we say a prayer, and if somebody sees us, tough. Live as if you are already dead. It means that when we go to restaurants, what do? It's when we sit there, we're not ashamed of who we are, and we pray there in our restaurant. So what if somebody snickers? So what if somebody makes fun of us? You never know, they might even join in. And how about this? While we pray, why don't we say something to that waitress that's there, ask her for her name or his name, and say, can we pray for you as well? Live as if you are dead. Live as if you are on the cross. Live as if that's your sentence. Don't worry about what the world's going to do to us, but live in that way. And that's really what Jesus is calling us to do by being His disciples, is to live in this world as if they've already condemned us. Because here is why. Because we are. That's right, we're children of God. And God calls us to live as His disciples. Yes, living as disciples is a difficult thing. The world hates us. The world hates us. They don't hate us. They hate Jesus. But you never know. Because here's the reality of it, and this is one of those discussions we had at men's Bible study the other day, Saturday morning. I came in here and said, Pastor, we have a question for you. And it's one of those things that makes you think. Have you ever thought that there may be somebody that doesn't go to heaven because you didn't share Christ with them? It's so easy for us to look and celebrate the fact that, hey, I shared Christ with somebody today, and they may go to church, they may go to heaven. But have we ever looked at it the other way? Because I didn't share Christ with somebody, but there may be somebody that's not going because of me? Have we ever thought of it that way? But that's the truth. You see, because it's God's desire. Really, it's not about hating things. In fact, Jesus later on in Scriptures tells us a little bit, he clarifies this a little bit. The whole reason we need to hate our children and our spouse, our mothers, our fathers, and even ourselves is because we cannot serve two masters. Because what's going to happen is when push comes to shove, we're going to serve one and we're not going to serve the other. And that's what Jesus is really calling us to do, is to serve Him. As His children, is to serve Him. Which means that when we are out there in the world and they make fun of us, that what we're going to do is we're going to choose to serve Him. That when we're in bed on Sunday morning and we don't feel like getting up and going to church, what are we going to do? We're going to get up and we're going to go to church because we're going to serve Him. When we're at school and they tell us not to pray and not to lift or say something about Jesus, what are we going to do? We're not going to listen to the world. We're going to do what God calls us to do. We're going to serve Him, not the world. And we're going to have our prayer. When we're out in a restaurant, that when they say, don't say about Jesus, but yeah, we're going to let people see us pray to Jesus, and we're even going to pray for those who are around us. Because that's what God calls us to do. That's what it means to be children of God. Because remember, as children of God, I already told you the good news. Heaven is yours. God will never forsake you. Because someday we're going to leave this place. One day, this journey in this world is going to be over. Where do you want to go? Where do you want to live? Do you want to serve Him? who died on the cross for us? Or do you want to be in a place that's really, really warm? So hear these words of Jesus. They sound tough, but they are really those words of love. Follow me. Follow me. Be my disciple. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds centered and focused on Christ Jesus our Lord. May we be his disciples and may we follow him. And may we proudly bear that name of... May we proudly bear that name of...
Children of God.
Just want to make sure you're listening. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.